This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. How are we?
I'm good.
Yeah. Good morning. Me too.
Good morning. Also. I too also am well.
Are you?
In addition to, yes.
Excellent. I was going to say with or without the hashtag, but I'm going to let it go because I am not.
Yes, that's, you are.
You're not well?
Yeah.
I was going to say that unsmart, but anyway. Good morning,
yes.
Everybody.
Yeah. It's going to be a good San Diego. It's supposed to be a little hot today, though, huh?
It's supposed to be warm.
Was it foggy on your drive-in from the south side?
No, it was overcast, but it was not.
It was foggy coming out of Poway.
On the surface.
See, from Scripps Ranch, it was just overcast.
Yeah, so. I didn't notice anything. It wasn't foggy, for sure.
Was it overcast? Did you see the 96% gibbous waxing moon?
No, I did not.
I didn't either. But you know what that means? Remember those seeds I told you I was going to plant last week and the week before and the week before and the week before?
Hang on, those that you haven't planted yet.
Yes. Now is the time.
Because of the moon.
Full moon is drawing the moisture up to help keep my seeds moist and nurture them until they germinate.
Is this your farmer's almanac?
Yeah, and just the stuff I make up as I go along. what was that? I think the coyote. Oh, the barking at the moon.
Yes.
Los coyotes. Okay. Good morning. I have harvested. I had apricots this morning off the tree. And
very good.
To make sure I didn't pollute them, I just kind of moved the branch towards my face and took them off the tree because I'd done chicken stuff, so I didn't.
I know how you are. You're a little weird about that.
And last night when I put the chickens to bed, I had apricots, spicy nectar plums, and another Dapple Supreme.
Ooh.
Yeah, we had a
berry cobbler from blackberries from the caneberries in the yard. It was phenomenal.
I didn't have enough, but I did eat a few blackberries the day before. Does that count?
There's nothing better than pulling them off and eating.
Oh, speaking of which, I do think that those are Ralali berries you brought in. Because I was harvesting mine, and they're similar in size and a little bit of tang to them. I'm going to stick to that.
Yeah.
So I thought you said they weren't Ralali berries.
No, because I thought mine were different until I went home and tried mine, and then they.
And they taste the same?
And they look the same, and yeah.
And they're very, very tasty.
No, those were good. Those were good. Milkweed is starting to somewhat become available.
Yes.
It kind of depends. I had a customer call up.
We have the tropicals in now.
Well, we've got some of the natives in, but we had a ton of tropicals, and then I went out yesterday. It's all gone.
Well, mm-hmm. we're moving them over to put them near the natives so that the milkweed is in a milkweed section. So that might be what happened. And what was you were making comments about borders and what that means to natives versus non-natives.
Oh, one of the articles that I was reading from the Texas Butterfly Ranch was one of their, I believe it was one of their entomologists back there said that, as far as native and non-native milkweed is concerned, they said in some areas, if the border with Mexico was drawn 100 miles farther south, the tropical milkweed would be a native milkweed.
Interesting.
Yeah,
Borders matter.
No. So if you plant the tropical milkweed, just cut it down in November.
Right.
Just cut it back.
Yeah, I've been having a discussion with another customer about tropical milkweeds, and do you invest in 30 more beautiful milkweeds to continue the monarchs in Mary's garden are unbelievable. There's dozens everywhere of them constantly, and the caterpillars are going nuts. And so,
yeah, we had one of the tropical growing in a, it's a weed, I mean, basically, and it had, must have had 15
right there in the name.
What's it? Well, hence the name. But yes. I mean, yeah, it was just growing in a pot somewhere, and it must have had 15 caterpillars on it. It was insane.
Those plants that are at the Poway store are just, there are butterflies dancing around it all day long. I mean, 5-10 butterflies constantly.
Just constantly
dancing.
Yeah. What I need to look at, I believe it was on that same website. I need to look it up. But one of the things that they had said that you can do if you run short of milkweed, if they eat all your milkweed and you don't have anything to feed them, is you can feed them pumpkins.
Pumpkins or pumpkin leaves?
No, the actual fruit. And they showed a picture of some cut up pumpkin, and they had monarch caterpillars on it that were mowing on the.
It might be easier to get milkweed.
Well, it might be.
Unless you're growing pumpkins. I wonder
if you could feed a canned pumpkin.
Well, or George's overgrown squash.
Yeah.
Volunteers.
It never occurred to me that they would eat something like that other than milkweed. So.
The article, Ken, because you shared it with me, I was going to use it on our Facebook post, but they said some breeders and enthusiasts have taken to offering pumpkins, cucumbers, and some other alternative fuels for late-season monarchs. And you're right, they're all over some pumpkin slices eating it.
Huh. So I didn't know that either, but...
Who knew? Yeah. But, no, right? Maybe if you have a cucumber laying around, you can throw it out there and see what happens.
I actually do have cucumbers to harvest, so maybe I could do that. As I was noticing monarchs in my yard on the lantana, they were enjoying the lantana. I was wondering, because I have no Asclepias in my yard that I'm aware of, and I haven't seen any at my neighbors, but I haven't totally been throughout all of my neighbors' yards. I'm not a total creeper, just a partial one. But I'm wondering where they're coming from.
It's their migration.
Oh, they're on their way to Rancho Santa Fe
or somewhere. Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen populations of monarchs and caterpillars, both in adult and larval stage, as I have seen in Mary's garden. And it's good for us because she's getting 30 more Asclepias next week to take care of them while she's out of town. So,
well, I think it was when Tom Ferguson used to work for us. So that's got to be what, 6 or 7 years ago now?
Oh, you know, like that? Yes.
But we had that huge invasion of monarchs at the nursery, and the caterpillars were cruising all over the ground looking for places to pupate. Do you remember? They were everywhere. It was amazing how
I don't know why they don't hang out on the milkweed. They look for eaves and
they look for other places.
Yeah, when they're done eating, they
get out of it. They get off the plants.
They get out of Dodge. They go somewhere else.
Yeah, it's very
because they're a wanderer.
Very unusual.
Thank you, Dion.
Yeah, I was going to say.
we did have for those that want the native milkweed. We did have a pretty good supply of fascicularis in stock, and they were nice. They were. For what we have been seeing, they were big compared to what we had in the past.
Compared to the single stem sticks we were getting
earlier. We had some nice canful 1 gallons in stock yesterday over in the native section. Although the foliage was a little wider than I was normally used to.
I think there's some seedling variation then there's some labeling variation. It might be speciosa.
Yeah, I get confused every time I go out there and look at the.
Well, speciosa is kind of a. Has a white foliage to it, doesn't it? Or am I thinking of something?
White
has kind of a. Which is the one that has the kind of furry white foliage to it?
Maybe it's Ariocarpa.
I don't know. We got a lot of milkweed coming in now. So anyway,
just in time for all the butterflies and caterpillars.
Correct.
Yes. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. We are getting into plumeria season. I know we had some containerized ones in stock, and we had cuttings too.
Yes.
And cuttings are pretty pretty easy to grow.
Yeah, they are. They're actually very easy to grow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit of rooting hormone. I usually recommend rooting them in perlite.
Perlite or,
fine perlite. Put them in a container, water it real well, and then let it stay just a little bit on the dry side so they don't rot. And they should root out pretty quickly.
They like the warm weather and root out quickly now. Right.
So if you're going to grow those in a pot, what is your soil of choice? Because I've had this discussion late.
I have one in a container at the house out on the pool deck, and I think it when I planted it years and years ago, I think I just used a cactus soil. So you need something that drains well.
Right.
Yeah, that's not going to hold.
You
can
grow them in almost anything, really. But what is your
I typically recommend, if it's going to be in a pot, the EB Stone Citrus and Palm Mix, which is subtitled for tropical plants.
Right.
So
it
works quite well. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been using.
I tried a couple more avocados to see if I can keep them alive, and I used the citrus and palm fertilizer, and so far they're loving it. I mean, I water
the
them a
fertilizer
couple of,
or the
couple
soil?
Of, the soil, okay. Yeah. And I water them a couple times a week, and so
doing
far
great.
they look great. The stems aren't turning black, and the foliage falling
way
off.
Way to go!
And,
that's a start.
And they're not wilting either. So I think we've
when you
may
do
have got the right combination.
What we call the
you
right
turn
way.
Turn the corner on avocados.
Remember to keep them watered this summer.
No, I do. I can't believe how much hand watering I've been doing lately, because I've got the tomatoes out on the pool deck and containers and some other stuff. And
yeah, so you have to go water.
I get home at night, and the first thing I do is I go out and start watering stuff.
Yeah.
So,
empty-handed watering or with the
empty-handed usually.
I'm so sorry.
I know. I usually wait until I get all the work done, then I go in. Then I'll go in and have
a
beer.
Pull a big fat one.
Well, Carol Fuller.
Yeah.
When she would do her presentation, she would always have her water timer. Do you remember that?
Mm-mm.
It was a glass of wine, and that's the timer for how long she would leave the hose on certain plants. It was when the glass is gone, then you turn the hose off.
Oh.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it
Except
would.
If, yeah.
Well, it depends on the size of the glass.
There's some variables in there, but yes.
Yes, there are some variables in there. It's not a perfect system, Mr. Mahady.
No,
well, I can see me going south on that one. That's all I'm saying.
Flooding the yard.
Flooding
Something
the yard.
Like that.
Yeah.
Or the neighbor's
chair,
yard.
Right?
No, if Mark was using it as a timer, the plant would get 13 seconds of water and it would be up. Mm. Nope, gone. Timer's
gotta
done.
Gotta go move the hose.
Yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of watering, one thing that I'm constantly readjusting the timing on the sprinklers, and because the especially the lawn tends to dry out. So I decided what I was going to do. I've shortened up the duration that the sprinklers are on, but I'll do it two or three, depending on what it is, two or three times a day. And so far that seems to be doing a much better job of,
down without running off.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So In some cases, I run it for a short period of time, four times a day. But I've definitely noticed that the moisture content in the landscaping, at least in the backyard, has evened out much better than it was
Excellent.
Before.
Yeah. Interacting with your timer on
exactly.
a regular basis is
you got to know your timer.
Yeah, and if it rains, you go and shut the thing off.
Correct.
Is that how it works?
Well,
in a perfect world, that's what it's supposed to do. But usually I wake up and it's raining and my sprinklers are
running. Yeah, and most people.
Okay, so the sprinkles that we had this week are not the rains that you were referring to when you say.
No, I didn't. No, I did not.
To which you are referring.
I did not turn them off this week. It was a very welcome rain that we got.
Yeah, that was kind of unusual, I thought.
Yeah, it wasn't much, but It wasn't enough to change the sprinkler cycle.
No, and they are talking about the monsoonal moisture returning this coming week.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes. So maybe we'll get some showers west of the mountains.
Or just humidity.
It could be.
So you could always invest in a new timer and put a one of those water
I've got,
sensors on.
Mine came with a water sensor. I just never hooked it up. Right. So you're listening.
Go ahead. No. Those water sensors are not perfect, and we will discuss that.
When we return. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to take a quick break. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now. Learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, George Allman. We were talking about
timers.
Timers and the
watering.
Water and the water sensor that you said.
Well, we have a customer who is a former engineer at Qualcomm, and he got the bestest timer with the sensors that take the weather, and it also ties into the weather system. But that wasn't, it wasn't a plug and play. It needed to be adjusted, because sometimes the sprinkler would automatically adjust incorrectly or would not adjust enough for the weather. And so he still spent hours and hours fine-tuning it, as a electrical engineer might want
to do.
Yes. So the same things when we are talking with our customers about soil type and can all the other variables that happen, you can't really set up any one system just to take all of that into account.
Yeah.
And so we're still needed.
There's a lot of it is trial and error. You know, when
there isn't anything that's perfect.
No. I've told this story before, but it's been a while. When United Launch Alliance was across the street from us over at the Convair buildings at the San Diego store, one of the engineers came over one day and said, you know, we potted up these palm trees and we're having out for our outdoor dining area and we're having problems with them. Would one of you guys be willing to come over and take a look at it? And I said, yeah, I'll wander over there and see what's going on. So in between two of the buildings, they had a bunch of tables set up for seating. And they had these big concrete pots with these, at the time they were triangle palms, were really popular, and they had put these in, and the trees just were not looking well. And he said, you know, we've been watering them, and we've watered them, we cut back on the water, and then we bought these hygrometer, these were full-on scientific instrument, not just a moisture meter, but these were full-on scientific instrument grade hygrometers that they put into the containers, and then they had the machinist make stainless steel covers to go over them that locked in play. I mean, it was, and we're using these and we're not getting anywhere with it. And I said, well, these don't, I said, unless you're, everything's working and you have a baseline, this isn't really going to tell you anything. And he said, well, how much water should we be putting on these? And I said, well, I said, you want to give them a good soaking? I would say probably about once a week or so.
What does that mean?
What's a good soaking? And I'm like, well, you want to get the root ball really moist, really moist all the way through. Is, well, how many are we talking about? 2 gallons?
2.7 gallons?
Yeah. How much water are we talking? He was so precise.
Yes.
But he was a rocket scientist. I mean, that's what they were doing. They were building rockets over
there.
That's
how you get $100,000 toilets.
Exactly.
So got to put it all together just
pots
right.
But we do have a lot of folks that want the number. You know, do I give it 7 gallons? And to your point, it's get it wet. Watch water come out the bottom of the basin, and you know that you got the entire root ball wet if it's in a pot.
You need to wet it from here to here and here to here.
Right.
And whatever amount of water or frequency or time that it takes to do that, that's what you have to do. It's unfortunate that we can't say it's 13 gallons and 2 ounces, and it needs to be over this fetch. And that's what people want, it's over this area, and this is how long you turn on the hose, or this is how long you turn on your sprinklers. And then we can't tell you that. I can tell you approximately what area needs to be watered and approximately the frequency, but otherwise you've got to get out there and interact. And then you also have to pay attention to what the plants are telling you after you have done what you have done. And if they're starting to wilt, if we're telling you to water once a week and after 5 days you see things start to wilt, that means you should have watered in 4 days or 5 days, not in 7 or 10, depending on the
your
situation.
Local conditions, your little microclimate, et cetera.
And then it's frustrating to customers.
And you know, you're talking an amount like 5 gallons or 10 gallons. The other side of that is our folks who utilize drip irrigation. They say, well, how long should I run it? And
longer.
Certainly longer, but the variables are how much coming out, how many emitters do you have, and then the time as well.
And typically most people don't know those answers. It's because somebody else installed it for them, and they don't talk about it. I mean, they probably are told at one point, but they don't think about that.
Well, even drip systems that are installed by professional, quote-unquote, gardeners and landscapers, I have seen run improperly. You had a customer yesterday with a persimmon tree that she was losing the fruit on the persimmon.
The fruit was dropping, and it was a mature tree. Been in a long time, but she was watering it, I think, 4 or 5 minutes every day with a dripper on a mature persimmon. It's doing nothing except for expending some water.
Right. Yeah, it's not doing anybody any good.
No.
No.
So often we get customers that come in that want help with their irrigation, but they're not the one that knows the time or the frequency. That's correct. The other person at home that knows the answers to the question. So it makes it even more difficult to help assess.
Correct. Well, then you have the people that come in that had an irrigation system in their yard, but to save water, they converted sections of their irrigation system to drip irrigation. So they're running regular sprinkler heads and drip irrigation all on the same section. And that for the most part doesn't work. Yeah.
Something's going to give on that.
Yeah.
I was over flipping on sprinklers manually because there's an issue with the timer on one sprinkler at my folks' house, and on the lawn sprinklers, all of the heads except for one have been converted to stream rotors.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all putting out this very fine moving stream, except for one old school putting out a half circle of straight water on the same line. So it's going to put out significantly more spray in the same period of time as the others. So there's one section that's greener than the rest for some reason. Same kind of thing, just a different type.
Right, so the streamer type need to be run longer.
Much longer.
Much longer.
Those very fine streams that are ultimately dialed down to whatever distance that you need covered puts out much less water in the same period of time as the older straight spray.
I have a lot of those. Like my entire back lawn is set up with those, and they actually work really well. But it's kind of the drip irrigation of sprinklers because they're designed to run for a long period of time, but they put out a relatively small amount of water
without a lot of waste.
And it soaks in. But to get it to soak in enough, you've got to
run it for a while.
Now, do some areas of your backyard must be warmer than others?
Yes.
And has that been reflected in the way you set up your sprinkler lines? Or I'm guessing closer to the house.
I wanted cooler. To, but I didn't.
So some areas get more than others.
Yeah, you know the back lawn, the two sections of the sprinklers on the back lawn there's an east section and there's a west section, but because of the shading of the house, especially in the wintertime, it should be set up with a north section and a south section, which at some point in time, I may get around to switching it out. So
the more, ultimately, the more stations you have, the more you fine-tune the whole system, putting plants with the same needs on the same lines, and that would be north versus south in your yard.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you fine-tune it, it's going to take you more time, energy, and money up front to set it all up that way. But ultimately, it'll be much better
much more efficient.
And it gives you a lot more flexibility. I think that's one of the problems we have sometimes with customers, because they'll talk about a particular plant like your persimmon lady yesterday, 5 minutes every day. And you say, well, you need to increase that significantly. And they say, well, I can't because I have other plants on there. And it's on the same line.
Yeah.
And so it becomes problematic. So to David's point, if you can fine tune it and have different zones with the same needs, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. The other thing that you can do as far as fine tuning is concerned is I think a lot of people, when they put a sprinkler head in, they just put the sprinkler head in and let it go. Well, that sprinkler head, that individual sprinkler head's adjustable as well.
Right.
So, you know, if you have a bed that's, I don't know, say 6 feet deep, and you put a sprinkler head on that has a throw of 10 to 12 feet, you need to dial that sprinkler head back so that the water is going into the section that you want it to go to and not overshooting it onto your patio or sidewalk or even out of your yard. So that
water
makes
your neighbor's
that's just one more variable into the whole system.
And another piece of that same puzzle is if you're throwing water out, the more water you are throwing out over a larger area, there's going to be more weeds, and not only do the plants not need it, it's being wasted, you're going to create other work for you later down the line as you're watering areas that don't need it.
That is very, very true.
I yesterday morning turned on a manual sprinkler on the end of a hose, and just for a little bit until I left for work, just to touch up the water.
What time did
so you got a good got soaking home? Is what you're saying?
Yeah, when I got home at 8:30, I turned it off last night.
So that's one of those slow, steady.
It was a fairly fine hose end sprayer, the one that had the feet so you can set the nozzle down on the ground. So it is fairly fine, but I'm guessing it got a couple hours more water than I intended to give it.
Well, because of this weekend, I'm sure it'll work out fine.
Yes. I left at 6:30. I got home at 8:30, and it was going to run from 6:30 to... Or from 6 to 6:30. Yeah. Just as a touch-up.
Ish.
Well, you should have got one of the inline timers for
your
hose.
I have those, Ken. I'll set them up later. Yes, I should have.
You need to get one a phone app so
something
you can
turn
that stuff
well,
on.
Well, I usually have my little wine glass timer, but not at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So if I'd had that, it would have reminded me to
turn
it off.
Yeah, rookie.
Yeah.
If you're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, if you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
To the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now. I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Are we done talking about sprinklers?
I think we are.
Yeah.
Well, just keep in mind it's going to be very hot coming up, so you may want to adjust your sprinklers accordingly.
Or just turn them on and forget them.
That'll work too.
And if the monsoon rain comes, turn them off.
Okay.
Just remember to turn them back on again.
Yes. Yeah. That's not bad advice. We had a customer in yesterday, George, that saw the presentation we did for the Master Gardeners.
Right.
She called us geeks.
Well, that's right. She did say that. Is that the same woman I was speaking with?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
To whom you were? Yes.
Yes.
I mean, you guys kind of are geeks. Nothing personal.
How else do we take that?
I don't know.
Okay. Take it as you will.
Take it as you will.
Okay. Okay. We will take it as we will. Anyway, I didn't think we were geeks. I thought maybe nerds.
I don't know the difference.
Oh, is there
one
a difference?
One likes Star Wars and one likes Lord of the Rings? Is that
something like that.
So I don't know the difference.
Okay.
You ought to be proud to be geeks. It's okay.
Is it a difference without a distinction without difference?
Okay.
Probably so.
All right.
George, you had an interesting Wednesday wisdom on the Facebook page this week.
On botanical or Latin or scientific names for plants. And one of the what struck me earlier in the week was someone asking for African daisies, and I showed them osteospermum, and that's not what they were looking for. So because common names, as we say in the Facebook page, common names are common to you and, you know, 30 people or a couple hundred thousand, but not the world.
No, that's where you live. Yeah.
Right, in your region, right? So anyway, I went down that path to come up with some of the history behind the binomial name.
The binomial naming, system of nomenclature?
Of nomenclature for plants. And what's interesting is, and I know you guys know this, you've been doing this a long time, but you know the names, usually the genus, the first name of a plant is often to honor the person that found the plant or discovered the plant or developed the plant. And then the second name is something specific about the plant. But it's got white flowers or it has large fruit, things like that. And so that's what it was about, on how to identify plants with that and give you some insight.
I'm laughing because one of the first common names I remember was bad plant.
Bad plant.
Yes. It was pampas grass.
Oh, yeah.
And I was always told that was bad plant. I mean, for the first, I don't know how many years, pampas grass was Cortadaria selowiana was bad plant. Because that's my common name. But I don't think if I went to a store and said, could you help me find a bad plant for my yard, that most people would know what I was talking about.
Well, when my dad was involved, well, when there was the California Association of Nurserymen, my dad was very involved with the California Certified Nursery
Professional
examination process. And part of the exam was they would bring in a bunch of plants and you had to identify them with the botanical name and the common name, and somebody in this one testing group, they brought in a Dizygotherca.
Okay.
And one of the people taking the exam got Dizygotherca elegantissima as the botanical name, and put false marijuana as the
common
name. And my dad was in the group that was grading everything. Well, he's not wrong. So that wasn't I can't remember what the other common name is.
Wait a minute. For the listening audience and me, what is Dizygotherca?
It's false marijuana.
Is that what it really, I mean, that's a common name.
Well,
it's
false, a common, false Aurelia.
Thread leaf Aurelia.
Yeah,
dark leaf.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
That's the common names, right? Yeah. That's where we go into the common, yeah.
That runs into problems. Although, you know, botanists are also, one of the other things that they're really good at is changing names.
Oh, yes.
Well, right. A couple years ago, we spoke of that with Rosemary, because Rosemary went from...
I don't remember her calling in.
Didn't go to a salvia.
That was your sister. It became a salvia.
Yeah.
Right. So it came from the genus Rosemary.
Seems to be a lot of that going on now.
Yeah.
But there's it's amazing over time how things change. And so... And I can see changing the name of a plant to change its classification, but then they'd make changes that just make no sense to me at all. Like when they changed the spelling of Raphalipus from R-A-P-H to R-H-P-A-P-H. Does that really clarify anything anymore with that extra H in it?
Yeah, it makes me always wonder when I'm typing it in, which one's the new one, which one's the old one.
Well, they found an old manuscript and found out that it was originally spelled this way.
And how many times have we reclassified king palms and Australian tree ferns?
King palms, Australian tree ferns, even queen palms have been reclassified. Yeah. I don't even know what it is anyway. It used to be Coccus plumosa.
Yeah.
Right? Is it Syriagus?
Yeah, I think it is.
Something like that.
I would not have come
Coccus
up with that.
Coccus plumosa is as far as I'm going.
Yeah.
What are some of the common names that you guys typically hear that that are a different plant for you?
Tree fern is a common name that's used for many different, well, primarily two tree ferns.
Right.
Yeah, but you could throw some of the blacknums in there, yeah, too.
Because now you can't.
Now it's a because it's but that,
back
that
in the
be,
day
that
when
be,
I started, we didn't have any blacknum.
No,
tree
we didn't.
Ferns.
Yes, we didn't.
That's true.
But those aren't. They're like a dwarf tree fern.
Yeah,
it's,
that's what
it's not gonna. It's not gonna be a huge tree fern.
Black-eyed Susan is one that struck me. The Thunbergia. Oh yeah. Hey, I didn't mean that.
That's funny.
Yeah. The black-eyed Susan, the vine or the little perennial shrub.
Oh yeah.
Two
yeah,
different,
yeah.
Completely different looking plants.
Yes.
Correct.
Totally. Not even in the same
not
ballpark.
Same, yeah. Not at all.
Genealogically.
The shrub is it? Rudbeckia.
Rudbeckia.
Yeah, okay.
Rudbeckia.
Yeah. That's how long it's been since I've heard that referral other than to a Thunbergia.
Oh, okay. And I often hear it for the little shrub.
Yeah.
What were some of the other ones you came across when you were?
Well, when I was looking at coneflowers, what do you think of when you hear coneflower?
Echinacea.
Echinacea, but I know there's other.
Leucodendron.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of that. I guess.
Because there is one called coneflower.
Yeah. Now, that's interesting because if you're talking proteas, I would think a Banksia would look more like a coneflower than a leucodendron. So well, when the buds are small, it could appear to be a coneflower.
And how about the drumsticks? Couldn't that be a coneflower? But it's called drumsticks.
Drumsticks, yeah. Which
I don't know.
I think so.
It's got that little,
with a yellow. I mean, it looks like a drumstick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Crispy, and then there's some Asclepias with strange common names, which we don't need to get into on the air.
Yes, that is true.
Yes.
Let's just suffice it at that.
Yeah.
If you would like to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to go down to Chula Vista where Alan is waiting. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing really well. Your discussion about watering brought back some thoughts. I shop at the San Diego store. Probably just too far to go from Chula Vista. But anyway, I was talking to Dale one time at the customer service counter about watering citrus trees.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, he said, I used to tend citrus up in the Escondido area. And he said that the best way he felt to water them is to just lay the hose on the ground on the uphill side if it has a little slope to the land. And just let it run ever so slowly for quite some time and let it kind of soak the whole area under the tree. But I just wonder, what's the most efficient way to do it? Is it better to use a fine spray with a nozzle or something and just spray the whole area, or just do what he suggested and just let it run real slow and cover the area?
Well, the way I tell people to deep soak like citrus and things like that is however you do it, whether it's through a sprinkler head or just water coming out of the hose, is you want the water coming out and going into the ground at the same rate so that there's no runoff. You want everything that comes out to be absorbed in. So you don't want to just go and lay a hose out and turn it on
too high
and flood the area and have it running off, because that's not going to do anything for the tree, and it's just going to waste the water because it's going to pour into other areas. So if you use a hose, just turn it. You'll have to adjust it a little bit, but you just want a slow trickle that's going to come out of the hose and go into the soil at the same rate. And typically on a mature citrus tree, you would only need to do that about once every three weeks or so in the warmer season, and you could stretch it out to every 4 or 5 weeks in the cooler months. But when you let it run for 3 or 4 hours. I mean, you really soak that area well.
Or conversely, as David does, for 8 or 9 or 10 hours a day.
Yeah. It was a finer spray.
Oh, okay.
To my defense.
But yes, in response, yeah, deep soaking on citrus is what they prefer and what they do best with.
So if you're fertilizing every 3 months, watering once a month, say, You need to wet that fertilizer down to get it to soak in, don't you? So
yes.
If you let the water go across the ground and just soak in, it's not carrying the nutrients from the fertilizer with it, unless you spray from the top.
Well, correct. After feeding, if you go by, if somebody's knocking on the door, if you go by with a hose or a spray over the top, to push the fertilizer down into the soil, that is important. And if you're not, if you're watering with drippers, then yes, you need to do something to take the fertilizer down underneath the drippers so the drippers will take it down to the roots.
So then a recommended way would really be to use a very fine hand spray when you're fertilizing, and then the rest of the time just let it soak very slowly into the ground, just normal watering.
Yeah. Actually, I suggest people usually water a little more aggressively with a hand spray after feeding so that they can get the fertilizer into the soil more quickly. But a finer spray would probably be a little better.
Or now we have bubblers around most of ours with berms, and when you turn it on, it just floods it, and it brings the nutrients down, dissolves it.
Was there ever a method where you just trench around the ciata drip line of the tree? That's the way I learned when I first started working with citrus, was just to put a real shallow trench in, and not overflow it, but flood it so it, when it's full, and then let it soak in from there. Does that work?
Well, if it worked for you back in the day when you did it, then yes, but usually we recommend that people are watering an entire area, not just the trench around the drip line. And as trees mature and that drip line moves further out, you're getting further and further from the trunk. There's a whole large area in between where you still want some moisture. So I don't subscribe to that and think that making sure that that entire area from the drip line to the trunk is moist when you water it is what we would
What I would prefer, yeah. Alan, thank you very much for the call. We need to take a break. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
May I?
Go ahead.
I wanted to ask George, we were talking about watering issues before, and he was talking about flooding basins. On many occasions, we've had customers come in that have been filling basins on their trees for the last 10 years, and now all of a sudden it's not working
for
them.
And their trees are declining. And why is that? I know why.
Why is that, George?
Because they kept the same basin that was, 18 inches out, circumference around the tree, diameter from the tree, and they never increased it as the tree matured.
Okay. Right. Are your basins increasing, is
they
my question to you?
They have been increasing, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And following up with Alan's question about digging a trench around the drip line of the tree, I think you would do just the opposite. Instead of digging down into the ground and digging a trench, you build up around the drip line of the tree fill in that basin.
I concur. As they get bigger, though, as the trees mature and that basin comes to a 20-foot diameter circle.
Yeah, that gets too big for a berm.
Okay.
Agreed.
Okay. Yep. Now we may move along,
layer,
Douglas.
Yeah, as they get bigger, the berm goes away, more mulch. And then that slow trickle
and
or whatever.
Good thick layer of mulch will help you be able to extend the watering to 2 to 4 weeks.
We had a big chip drop yesterday, too, so we are looking forward to mulching around a lot of trees.
Looking forward to mulching around
trees. Oh, absolutely. That's joy.
Well, it's going to be a warm weekend for you. Be perfect time to do it.
It is.
And you can use that perspiration to water the trees and save water.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's a good plan.
I'm done.
I like it.
Now we may.
All right. We're going to go up to San Marcos where Pat is waiting. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Hi. Good morning, gentlemen. I have an update and a question.
Okay.
My update was I called in several weeks ago about my eggplant that was turning, the fruit was turning yellow, from purple to yellow. And you recommended, you know, to use an insecticide, and I used an organic one, and now my fruit is purple again. So thank you.
Huh.
And so I appreciate that. And my question is, I have two plumeria in containers. One is flourishing and doing well. I mean, the leaves are coming out. The other one, the leaves are just at the top, and I sprayed with an insecticide, but it's the leaves are still closed, and they're not coming out of the top. So I'm puzzled what to do.
We have seen in the past when a plumeria does not, the leaves don't mature, and they're coming out of winter, and the leaves elongate, and then they drop off before they open up. On occasion, I've seen where that has been caused by them rotting out at the base. So the plant is still there, but there's nothing connecting the roots to the top. And so they're just cannibalizing themselves. And I would check the base and see if it's firm or if it has rotted. And if it's rotted, start cutting from the bottom up until you get to fresh, green, sappy wood. And then cut it there, let it heal for a few days, and then re-root it out.
Yep.
So don't water it, right? Don't water it.
Not if that's the case. Now, there is moisture in the soil, right? You have been watering this pot this spring?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because just a total lack of water, and I've seen that as well, where the organic matter in the soil breaks down, so there's nothing holding water anymore, and you water it, and it's just sandy, dry after you get done watering. That could cause it as well. So make sure that the moisture, that the soil is absorbing the moisture. And if that's the case, it's probably rotting.
I have a Miracle Grow potting soil in both of them. And one, as I said, is flourishing and doing beautifully. I mean, I'm doing the exact same thing with both. So that's why I was puzzled. Okay, I'll try that.
And make sure you're feeding it regularly too.
With what kind of fertilizer?
That we usually recommend is it Hawaiian?
The big bud. Hawaiian bud and bloom.
Yeah, Hawaiian bud and bloom. It's super high phosphorus. It's like 50% phosphorus. 50. Yeah.
50. Okay.
And that works, that works really well. It's water soluble, so you have to do it about every 2 weeks or so. They love it.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. And I appreciate you solving the dilemma with my eggplant. So I look forward to eating eggplant again.
Excellent.
Very good.
Enjoy.
Very good. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend. Bye.
Okay.
I guess we all take different things from our conversations, because I remember that call, and I was thinking that they were overripe, and that was what was yellowing them.
Well, we talked about potentially spider mites on the leaves damaging the leaves.
We did talk about
water. Excess water can cause yellowing. Yeah.
Let's see. I don't pay full attention, so I only remember the certain portions of it.
I see. But, you know, she said she's doing everything the same with both, but one's not doing well. I'm curious if there's anything different in location.
The amount of light,
you know, 10 feet away, one's getting some shade, so it's getting too much water because it doesn't need it. So just little things
rarely,
like that.
Rarely is everything exactly the same.
It's very Yeah. I mean, people think that, but it's rare. Like you said, there's always a shadow of something or, you know, tree or a house or something that's blocking things.
Oh, I had a customer one time. They had a privet hedge that ran down along the side of their driveway, and their driveway had a slope to it, and the hedge was all on the same sprinkler system, but the ones at the top were much smaller and not were not as lush as the ones
at the base.
Everything is exactly the same,
but it may be the same, but the water that's coming out at the same rate at the top as it is at the bottom tends to go downhill.
Down to the bottom.
Like something with gravity
to the bottom. Yeah. So.
And also, after you shut the sprinklers off, all the water that's in that pipe is going to drain out the bottom.
Goes down to the bottom
extra
one.
Extra water. Yeah. And people just don't think about that. And it's not, it's normal not to think about that kind of thing.
I mean, everything theoretically is getting the same, but
we've said this before, though. When you speak to customers and you start explaining that, and you go kind of like through the forensics, light bulbs for many of them go off. Oh, you're right. My neighbor's garage sticks out and it gets shade in the afternoon.
It takes a long time sometimes.
Yeah, but it's nice when those lights go off.
And half the time, though, people look at you like you're just mean
They want to fight with you about
it.
And it's like, I'm not here to fight with you. I got plenty of people that want to fight with me.
Yeah. I know. Three of them are in this room.
Exactly. It's like, no.
In our And our return to normalcy, if you don't subscribe to it, go to the website, walteranderson.com, that's S-E-N, and subscribe to our email newsletter. The next one is going to be coming out next week. But we are going to start in-person classes again at both of the stores. July 10th, I believe, is the first day. Check out the newsletter, and you'll see what classes are coming up for the month of July, and hopefully this will be a continuing thing going forward.
A lot of people want us to get back into it.
They've been asking.
A lot of the employees want to do it too, so they're kind of excited about it.
It'll be nice to get back into that. Are the classes on the website yet?
No, I don't think
okay.
so.
Okay. And I forgot.
Might be, because Melanie was working on the calendar.
Okay. So I was supposed to text you last night and tell Melanie to check or to recheck an email, because I gave Mark the wrong email address. So he sent the classes, but to an email address that is not watched.
Yeah. Okay. I'm an idiot. Well, we'll take care of that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We'll be back next week with another hour of Garden Talk. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.